What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
The 0-2. Rooker, awkward swing and miss. Strike three at a breaking ball, two away.
A good sequence of pitches by Tyone.
Two-strike pitch. Tolia went around strike three. 6 innings and 12 strikeouts for the 22-year-old kid.
What a day to remember.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
So those highlights are from some of the pitchers who are using a new pitch that is sweeping the nation. And nobody is better talking about pitching and MLB than Eno Saris of The Athletic, who joins us right now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. You're listening to Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, on 670 The Score. Eno, good morning. Happy New Year. First time I get to talk to you during the course of the season. How are you, sir?
Doing great. I'm on my way to the ballpark to see the Giants and Mariners.
Outstanding. The Giants are my team of the moment right now. I sang a bastardized version of Heat of the Moment by Asia. and instead I do a team of the moment every week, and that's the Giants because of all the wins, of course, but they seem to have a little something brewing. How seriously do we take them in a ridiculous National League West?
I think they may have the best bullpen in the league. I don't know, at least one of the top three. One of the things I really like about what they do is not only do they come with gas and, you know, extreme stuff, but they have really varied arm angles. So you've got Tyler Rogers, who's basically pitching underhanded. You've got some, Ryan Walker is sidearm. You got Camilo Doval coming over the top. And so it's hard to get comfortable against pitchers with that many different arm slots. I think the bullpen's a really key for them because they do have good starting pitchers, but somebody like Verlander, sometimes he's going to come out after three or four at his age, and he just gives you the knowledge that you've got a really good fifth or sixth reliever.
You know, every time the name Tyler Rogers comes up, I picture the moment that I read about where former Pirates closer Kent Tekulve was watching television a couple years ago and just like jumped up in his chair and said, "That's my pitch! That's my pitch!"
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. You know, he's so underhanded that like all of the movements, all the like grips and stuff do the opposite. Like he's literally pitching upside down. So when he throws a slider, it kind of rises.
That was it. That's what Tekulve said, was like, his breaking ball rises. That's what mine did, you know? So
he has to pitch backwards. He throws this, like, 79-mile-an-hour rising breaking ball, and then he throws this, you know, really heavy sinker at 80-something on top of that. So it's a really weird look, and nobody's really that comfortable against it.
Oh, man, it's so much fun. You know, Saras of The Athletic joining us here. You referred to the kick change the other day on Twitter. You referred to it as, quote, the torpedo bat of pitching.
That was cynical. I just, you know, there's so much coverage of the torpedo bats. It's like, it's pretty insane. You know, they've been around for a while, and it's, I don't think it's as crazy as people are making it seem. But, like, really, the kick change is like the new sweeper. It's the new slinker, you know. It's the newest pitch that offers something that's really important to people that are really good at breaking balls. The kick change allows you to get depth on your changeup by basically taking your two dominant fingers off of the ball. Like, you know, a circle change takes your index off of the ball by curling it around the side of the ball. The kick change, you now take your middle finger and you just sort of prop it up. You take it off the ball and put, like, the finger pad, you know, like almost like a knuckle curve or something. You're popping that knuckle up. And by taking those two fingers out of the ball, it allows the ball to kick into a different axis and to just drop off the table. And it ends up being a really hard downwards changeup. It averages 90 miles an hour and kind of goes straight down.
So, Ed, rattle off some names of guys who are using the kick change in MLB right now.
Well, Hayden Birdsong out here in San Francisco was the first. And then his director of pitching, Brian Bannister, went to the White Sox and taught it to Davis Martin. There's another reliever there that's doing it. But Andres Munoz, the closer for the Mariners, throws the kick change now. Jameson Taillon learned it. There's about, you know, 10, 12 guys in the big leagues throwing it now. And, you know, I just, if somebody breaks out and they, it's all about the kick change for them, I think that's the, like, missing ingredient before we start hearing about even more. I mean, Taillon's kick change is the best changeup he's ever thrown by 5 or 6 inches of movement.
So, and it's interesting. I haven't looked into his specifics. He got lit up his first time stateside, but he's such a smart pitcher and knows how to bounce back and adjust it. I didn't see how much the kick change might have been hit the first time around. Did you happen to notice?
Yeah, the first time he got like 2 or 3 grounders and someone got a single or double. I think it's Ketel Marte. You know, I think it's actually a really hard thing to figure out as a pitcher is like, well, Ketel Marte got me. Could Ketel Marte have gotten me on my fastball and my slider? Maybe it's Ketel Marte. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
How much do I say, oh, that's a terrible pitch, I got to scrap it? And to his credit, I talked to him when he was in Sacramento, and he said that, like, you know, he'd just come off a bullpen session and it was feeling great. And that, you know, it was like any pitch. Munoz said this too, like any pitch, you're just going to get better feel over time. And I think in the second start, I saw better. I don't know the results necessarily, but I know that in the second start, the changeup was better.
6 innings, 4 hits, 7 Ks in dominating the A's in his second start. Yeah, it's interesting. And then Davis Martin got lit up last night after being great the first time around. And what's interesting about the way it was reported anyway by Scott Merkin on MLB.com out of Detroit is that the Tigers were sitting off speed. They were sitting off speed on Davis Martin those first 3 innings, and then he adjusted and threw a lot of fastballs for 2 scoreless on the back end. So, but I don't know if that means they're sitting specifically on the kick change, but if you just do it with speed, I mean, maybe you can time up a slider a little easier or a curveball a little easier if you're sitting off speed waiting for him.
Yeah, and I mean, if there is a potential flaw to the kick change, is it doesn't have much sideways movement. So if he's throwing a curveball, a slider, and a kick change, and they're all kind of up-down, maybe you can guess wrongish and still hit it, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of times the people who throw kick changes are people who throw a lot of breaking balls. So another guy's Clay Holmes, who has 2 breaking balls and now the kick change. But Clay Holmes has a sweeper, so I think it'll really work well for guys that have a sweeper because, yeah, I think when you have a sweeper, which is a very sideways pitch, then I think people expect your sinker and your changeup to be sideways in the other direction. And if you have a sweeper and then a kick change, I think that's a pretty good combo because then your changeup just drops straight down when they expect it to do something else. That's the name of the game in pitching, really.
What's it, to get them to expect something and...
Like, in terms of movement, yeah. I mean, anything, you know, another thing about the kick change is, like, you know, people, it comes from people who throw a lot of breaking balls. So, you know, they're expecting breaking balls.
What was interesting about reading your article about this pitch, and we're talking to Eno Saris from The Athletic, is how a pitch sweeps the league these days, like how it happens these days. It seemed to go, if I have this right, from the Korean Baseball Organization to TRED, which is like a pitch lab, sort of like Driveline for those who don't know, to TRED, and then to San Francisco, and from that to the White Sox, and in between, the internet. The internet played a big role. This is how it happens these days, isn't it? This kind of story.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is technology, because Sean Anderson came back from the KBO with this pitch, and when he threw it in front of the machines at TRED, they said, oh my God, like, those metrics are ridiculous. Like, what is that pitch? We haven't seen anything like that before. And, you know, once they like measured it and tracked it, they sort of figured out that, this type of player can benefit from this, you know? So it's a little bit about metrics, a little bit about data. And then, yeah, social media is a big part of this too, because Andrés Muñoz just saw the pitch while he was scrolling through Instagram, you know, and was like, I'm going to try that, you know. So social media is a part of it. But then, you know, in the end, there's also got to be a narrative, because, you know, one of the other pitches that people are considering is maybe a new pitch is the slinker. And, of course, the whole reason we care about the slinker is because Paul Skeens throws it. You know, so that's why I'm saying, like, maybe if Taillon has, like, a great season and attributes it to the kick change, then other people will start to take it on more.
I mean, when Bruce Sutter was throwing split-fingered fastballs, like, and dominating, everybody's like, what do we do?
I want that.
Yeah. Right? Or out there in San Francisco. And I mean, Roger Craig was the guy who taught that to everybody, right?
Yeah. I interviewed him about that. And then there's always the backlash where people are like, oh, it causes injury. I interviewed Craig about that, and he said, I'm not stupid. I wouldn't teach a grip to a bunch of kids if I thought they were going to get hurt from it. He's like, look back at the injuries. One guy got hit by a comebacker. One guy tore his hamstring. You think he tore his hamstring because he's throwing a splitter? I love Roger Craig.
Oh, man. I love that you interviewed him. That's not Roger Craig. That's not the 49ers running back. That is the former Giants pitching coach and briefly manager. All right, so speaking of the splitter, Roki Sasaki was throwing it yesterday, and he threw it really well. But everybody's calling it a splitter or a dragon fork. And Oral Hershiser says it's just a fork ball. He's like, I don't want to fight about it, but it's just a fork ball. I mean, is it a fork ball or a splitter? What is that thing?
Well, you know, the difference is about an inch of how, like, far you shove it into your fingers. So a split finger is like kind of, you know, on the ends of your fingers a little bit, with maybe some space between your palm and the ball. Mm-hmm. And then the fork, you're just really jamming your fingers all the way in, so it's in the webbing of your fingers. The reason that matters is because if it's more on the tips of your fingers, you can control it, maybe like a Gossman, how he controls his splitter. Mm. You know, you can do more things with it. But the movement is more normal. Like, that's why Gossman can control it, is because the movement's the same every time. If you shove it into the webbing of your fingers, what instead happens is that you can't control it anymore, but the movement is erratic and it becomes a little bit more like a knuckleball. So it comes out with like incredibly big drop, and you don't actually know if it's going to go left or right. And that's the difference between Kodai Senga's and Roki Sasaki's splitters and most other people's. I think Imanaga's is more of a split finger.
That's Shota Imanaga. We've been saying Imanaga, Imanaga, but is it Imanaga?
Sorry, I got it wrong. Yeah, no, Imanaga.
No, I thought maybe you knew. I just want to make sure I'm not screwing it up. Shota's been great so far again, and he's just such a joy to watch. I keep waiting for him to need to go next level into his arsenal, but he doesn't yet. It's just four-seamer and that split, and that's all he needs for the most part still. It's amazing.
Yeah, I keep thinking the home run rate is going to crawl back up because usually if you only have two pitches, somebody can guess one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might still be a risk as the weather warms particularly, but, you know, Wrigley is a good place to, come with a home run risk. I mean, the signing of Matt Boyd, I think, was pretty smart that way, especially for right-handers. It can be really difficult to hit the ball out of the park.
Boyd was great yesterday. So what do you mean? What bodes well for him and the Cubs?
Well, just that he's a good match of a lefty that sometimes gives up too many homers, but he's now in a park that helps suppress it. You know, so I think it's a good match. But he's also, you know, if you've watched him pitch, he's almost a slowest guy. Where then he like can every once in a while throw a 94, and if he kind of lulls batters to sleep. Watch him pitch. It's like slider, changeup, slider, change. Oh, fastball.
Yeah.
You know, so it can be annoying to watch, but it's really effective.
All right, two more quick things for Eno Saris. we're worried about Ryan Pressly in this town. Would you be worried about Ryan Pressly as a closer if you were a Cub fan?
Yes, I would be. The problem is that he's got the worst velo of his career, and that has actually filtered down to his breaking balls. This is the first time in his career he's had a below average stuff plus, which is just a number that looks at just the physical characteristics of your pitches. I've been watching him since spring, and I think from the eye test, he's nibbling a little bit and doesn't seem as confident in his pitches. But there is good news. The good news is Porter Hodge and Nate Pearson are super high, big stuff, big old donkeys in the back of that bullpen. Like, those two guys are legit relievers that could close. So I don't know who it's going to be. It'll probably be Hodge first. Maybe Pearson gets some chances by the end of the year. But they are fine, I think, writ large in the bullpen. I think that they will make a change at some point.
Pearson is one of those guys whose results have never matched the stuff, though. Never at any point. It's concerning. Do we know why? Do you have a theory as to why?
I would just assume his command is not amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes, you know, if you have a big fastball, it doesn't always show up in the strikeout rate. You know, it can show up in reducing home runs or reducing balls in play. So it doesn't always look the same when you have a really big fastball. But I think his secondaries are fine too. I think it's coming, in other words.
All right. And then would you please tell the listeners about your terrible analytical decision in baseball card purchasing? And even though it worked in your favor, it's a horrendous decision. Looking back, if we're just doing that.
Oh, my God. I saved up, I think, like 3 weeks of my allowance when I was a kid. And I was like 12 years old, 13 years old. And there was like this old pack, you know, this pack of early 80s Don Russ, I think. And there was, it was Tops, I think. And there was only one good card in the whole box, which is the Cal Ripken rookie. And I should never have paid like $12 or $14 or whatever it was that I paid for one pack when there was only one card in there. But I bought that pack and I got the Cal Ripken rookie. And I mean, the thing I learned from it, though, is it's like sometimes it's worth taking chances. And I think that you think about it like with the Cubs, you know, trade for Kyle Tucker, cost them Cam Smith. You know, it's a one-year situation. They're taking a chance. And I think it's smart because this lineup is really, really good. And putting Kyle Tucker in it has just made it even that much better. I think they could really come together for the Cubs this year. You're just looking at the pitching staff and being like, you know, if you guys can get it all together, this is going to be a great team.
Yeah, I think you're right. And in terms of Tucker, If they win the World Series, of course it's worth the trade. If they make it, it's
you
worth the trade.
You get your Cal Ripken rookie card, it's worth saving up 3 weeks for it.
Yes, it is. I did the same thing with an 83 Tops set and got the Wade Boggs rookie. Same exact
nice.
Thing. Yeah, man. Yeah, those moments. Can't beat it. Can't beat it.
Oh, my God. I was yelling in that card shop.
That's the best. Eno, thanks, man. Enjoy the day at the ballpark.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You got it. It's Eno Saris from The Athletic right there on 670 The Score. See, it's worth it, folks. It is worth it. Give yourself that chance to get the Cal Ripken rookie. Let's talk to the man who so often ties the room together. We'll get Cam connected with Chris Kamka next on The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It is time to get ourselves Cam connected on 670 The Score. And here he is, my favorite member of the Stereo MCs, the great Chris Kamka himself from the Marquee Sports Network, joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Chris Kamka, Happy New Year. The new season off and running. The team whose broadcasts you work on has won, what, 5 in a row, 6 out of 7? Times are good, correct?
Yeah, five in a row, and they look good in all elements of the game. They're hitting, they're pitching, they're picking it, they're running. It's great.
Yeah, it's fun. It's probably a fun team for you to cover and look around. It was great to hear your name yesterday when Boog Shambi called you out with some of the factoids about Ian Happ's 1,000th game. Give us your favorite stuff that you found in researching and celebrating Ian Happ's 1,000th game.
It's just, he's already accomplished a lot of cool things in that 1,000 games. He's one of the guys, not a lot of them, homered in their major league debut in game one. In game 116, he homered on the very first pitch of the entire season in 2018. You remember that?
Oh, wow, yes.
Only one other player has done it, and I'm sure you know because that's right in your wheelhouse.
I don't. On the first pitch of the entire season?
Yes, only two players. Ian Happ and one other.
I don't know.
1986.
Wade Boggs?
Dewey Evans.
Dewey Evans was leading off?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I had no idea. That is wheelhouse stuff. That is true.
Yeah, cool, isn't it? There's only one, two guys have done it. I mean, think about that. You're the first game in the major league season, the very first pitch, boom, home run. What a great start.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
I mean, and then one of my favorite moments, and I don't hear it talked about enough, in game 643, it was a game against the Milwaukee Brewers. The Cubs won 4-2. And the only two hits of the game were Ian Happ, two-run homers. That's incredible.
That is incredible. That is incredible.
And then throwing the mix two times, he's homered from both sides of the plate. The most recent was last year on the 4th of July. And then in game 980 last year, he holds another record of sorts.
Okay.
He homered off of Mason Miller. It was 103.2-mile-an-hour pitches, the fastest pitch taken for a homer in the StatCast era, or the pitch tracking era, which goes back to 2008.
I remember that. I remember that home run off Mason Miller. There's something instructive about that. Really, there's something instructive about Ian's whole career so far when you think about it. It wasn't always linear. There were bumps along the way. He went back down, had to remake the swing and everything like that. I thought the stuff about how few players have actually even done it is amazing. The, like, 7% of all players in the history of baseball have made it to 1,000 games. That's lower than I expected. I guess it just speaks to how many damn players there have been through the decades.
Well, yeah, there's been a lot of players, but when you put it into perspective, the amount of players that have played in all of Major League history wouldn't even, like, fill a ballpark, barely halfway. Always think about that. Hmm. That's a small percentage. And then you take 7.4% of that, and that's how many guys play 1,000 games. I mean, think about it. Maybe you're not good enough. Maybe injuries plague you. Maybe there's some kind of tragedy. All kinds of things could happen where you might not reach 1,000 games. And he's one of the select few. It's really something to celebrate. Milestones like this, I think they're underrated.
Yeah, I think it's true. And then he joined Mark Grace and Sean Dunston as the only players drafted by the Cubs to get to 1,000 games. That's it. That's a tiny little list. I thought there'd be more than that on the list, but no.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's so much player movement. There's, you know, I mean, the draft started in 65, so, I mean, but still, that's, what, 60 years?
Yeah.
And, it is a small group. It's really cool when you think about that kind of thing. There's so many ways you can slice it and dice it, which is probably my favorite reason I love baseball, is there's so many different ways. You can say, all right, who has the most home runs in the leadoff spot, or by position, or you can do by team, or you can do by era. There's so many different ways that when you put it all in the big piggy bank of baseball stats and shake it up, you never know what you're going to get.
What else is jumping out to you about this team as you've been doing your research and doing your work on the broadcast, Chris?
Well, I just stumbled across a pretty cool Kyle Tucker nugget today.
Okay.
And through 11 games, he's got at least 11 hits, 11 walks, 11 runs, and 11 RBIs.
Hmm.
And the last Cub to do that was Rogers Hornsby in 1929.
Wow.
He's been as advertised. He's doing it all. He's even stolen a few bases. He is the guy that this team needed.
Yeah.
They needed a certified MVP candidate to get into that lineup, and he's delivering. And it's been a joy to watch it. I think it's like over the last – he's got a 10-game on-base streak, and he's been on base 24 times over that span.
Man, it's amazing. That's crazy. So the start is up there with Rodgers, Hornsby. And, yeah, our last guest just said it. Sarah said it. It's like – you know, now with Tucker in that lineup, it's you can go ahead and dream of the biggest possibilities for this offense. I love the base running. You mentioned it. They got caught yesterday with a stolen base for the first time, but last year they were second in outs on the bases last year, and that is just it's not what it looks like now. They're beating out force plays. There's aggressive base running going on that hasn't led to outs as well. Been good stuff.
Yeah, they made a lot of outs last year, but they were one of the top base-running teams in the league still. Making outs on the bases sometimes could be a function of just getting on base a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's that. But overall, yeah, the base running is amazing. Just to beat, like Council said, beating plays in the second to beat force outs. That stuff extends innings and it keeps the line moving. It matters. There's small things during the course of the season, but they add up.
Yeah, they do. All right, Chris Kampka, you are the best. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the broadcasts, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks, man.
All right, Speaks. Good to talk to you again.
You got it. That's Chris Kampka from the Marquee Sports Network. I love that dude. And you, White Sox fans, remember when you had him. He was yours, and now he belongs to the Cubs. So it goes. It is 670 The Score. It is Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run. We are broadcasting to you live from the Hyundai Studios. Coming up later on, the Cubs host the Padres this afternoon in the series finale at Wrigley Field. Pregame coverage begins at 12:45. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer will be on the call for first pitch at 1:20. That's on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Looking at the ball games coming up later on today, we mentioned that Cubs game, obviously, with the Padres. They go for the sweep. Ben Brown, the pitcher for the Cubs, and he will be going up against Kyle Hart, the 32-year-old lefty for the San Diego Padres. For the White Sox and the Tigers, it'll be Martin Perez, who was very, very good his last time out, obviously. 6 innings pitch, 9 strikeouts for Martin Perez his last time out, when every member of the White Sox rotation was very good. And he'll be going up against the former number one pick, Jackson Job, who made this Tigers rotation out of spring training. It'll be his second start. He only went 4 innings in his first start. Really pitched very, very little last year, and both times it was out of the bullpen in the big leagues. But they've gone Jackson Job and Casey Mize at the back end of their rotation. So it'll be Job against Martin Perez coming up this afternoon. The Tigers are in first place in the AL Central. The Royals The Royals and the Guardians and the Twins all tied for second at 3-5. Feeling perky there, are you, Robbie?
Well, we start the year playing the Dodgers, and then you get your teeth kicked in, and then you're a little bit humbled a bit, and then you come back, and then you get a couple wins. I love the Tigers. Go Tikes.
How's pitch and catch going over there? It's the show with you, Robbie, and you, the associate producer, Ruben. Everything going okay? I want to set you up. Ruben, you had a piece of content that you wanted to bring to pitch and catch. Have you shown this to Robbie yet?
Yes, I have.
All right. Tell us about it, Rue.
So, basically, it's this astronaut who is on a space station in space.
Yeah.
Who has a baseball,
yeah,
a glove, and a bat. He throws the baseball ever so slightly, and it just keeps moving.
Yep.
And so he runs all the way down to the other side of the ship,
yeah,
grabs the bat, and hits it. And then he runs back down to the other side of the ship where he pitched it, and catches it.
I have seen that video. It is awesome. Mm-hmm. It is really awesome. And it shows what you can do when you're in zero gravity.
Yes.
And what do you think this means for the future of baseball? Robbie, what do you think it means for the future of baseball?
Well, obviously, we need to put the new Wrigley Field. When that happens in 100 years, we need to put that in space. And then there'll be more home runs, and then the game is saved. But also, Ruben told me that he wants to be down the line an astrophysicist. And I think that is amazing, and not in radio, which is the right path. And so thank you. Good job, Ruben. Even though I love this episode of Pitch and Catch, and I hope we can have more down the road. You need to be doing this and save the world.
It seems to be a more important thing. A lot of people don't know, but Neil deGrasse Tyson started in sports radio. No, it's not true, actually.
Not even close.
No, I had you for a minute, though.
Is he on Breakfast Ball now?
And Carl Sagan, of course, everybody remembers Carl Sagan's Sports Machine. It was a Sunday night show in the 70s. Oh, no, sorry, that was George Michael. Either way, I was close, that's for sure. All right, thank you for that update on Pitch and Catch. A lot of good stuff going on over there. It is Spiegs with you here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Let's talk to one of the greatest closers in the history of Major League Baseball, the Hall of Famer, in town for opening weekend, Big Lee Smith joins Hit and Run next on The Score.
I felt the warmth from the Cuff family every day I walked to the ballpark, even before I got to Wrigley Field. From the fire department across the street to the ground crew on the field, to me, it truly was the friendly confines. Yes, there was home runs flying out of the ballpark, especially in the late innings, but it helped me learn to pitch. I have so many positive feelings about Chicago Cubs fans. Chicago's where I started, and they gave me my first opportunity to play in the major leagues. Even when I left, I knew I wanted to come back because I love it.
That from the Hall of Fame induction speech for our next guest. Had a chance to talk to him, I don't know, 4 years ago? Maybe five, but when I saw him on the screen there on Friday, well, first you saw him on the field as part of the legends there in attendance, Ryan Sandberg throwing the first pitch, but everybody there together, and then in the seventh inning stretch up there in the suite, I said, man, is that Lee Smith? That is Lee Smith. We got to talk to him on Hit and Run, and that's what we're going to do. Lee Smith joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Lee, good morning. Thanks for the time. How you doing, sir?
I am doing good. Yourself, man?
I'm great. Thank you. It's great to see you this weekend. As I mentioned, on the field and then the suite. Are you enjoying yourself being back here?
Oh, man, yes. Yes, getting to see some old buddies, my old ground crew buddies, Rick, you know, a guy like that, man. But the Cubs have been good to me, man. Awesome feeling. Get back here.
All right. Yeah. The grounds crew, I mean, you mentioned them there in the Hall of Fame speech. You mentioned them now. Why are you and the grounds crew so tight? What's this about, Lee? What's this relationship based on, sir?
Well, the best one with me was Rick Hughes. He was the first guy I ever met when I came to Wrigley Field. And he's been taking care of me ever since that, man. He was over my room yesterday, hanging out, good time. But you know what? It's just the people. You know, I'm like simple. And those guys, they're down the earth with me.
Yeah, well, you like to work the ground. You like to work the land, right?
Yes, he promised me side of John Deere too.
you still got the tractor down there. Your happy. Yeah. Your happy place is on the tractor on the 300-acre ranch. You still got it down there?
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed, man. I'm thinking about it right now. I need the money for diesel.
Yeah, the diesel prices are going up. They are, aren't they?
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, there was an old story about the grounds crew that went that you used to take your time, because you always did. It looked like you were always taking your time, the casual kind of methodical walk and the dominance on a weekday afternoon, but that you would take your time because the grounds crew got overtime pay if the game went past 4 o'clock. Is that true, sir?
Definitely. Well, I was walking out there, man. I was watching the clock, making sure my boys send their kids to school. Rick Taylor sent both of his daughters to college on that walk to the back.
Oh, it's tremendous. Lee Smith got a new heart last year. Science is amazing. You got a heart transplant. Thrilled that you're doing okay. Like, how you feeling overall?
Oh, man, I feel great, man. I tell you what, I got to give a lot of up to my new life, man. My wife here, she's been taking care of Miss Diana. Oh, my goodness, it's unbelievable. I don't know I don't know if she went to doctoring school or whatever, man. I don't understand this, but it's unbelievable what she's been doing, man. But I feel really good, putting on a little weight and everything now. And I don't know why. I'm always cool. So if you look at doing that the seventh-inning stretch, I pushed Billy and Fergie out in front of me because I was cool.
Oh, is that what it was? Because I saw you in the back there. Yeah. I'm like, man, they got to move over. I want to see Lee. Yeah. That's why.
Billy was blocking the wind for me.
Say it again.
I thought Billy was blocking the wind for me up there when we were singing.
The guy's over 80. You can't let him block the wind. You got to get out there.
Fergie, he's only 82.
Well, I'm so glad you're doing well. How about Wrigley, Lee? Talk about a place that had all these renovations, but it still feels like itself. It still looks like itself, doesn't it?
Definitely, man. When you go through the clubhouse and you see old pictures and things like that, you look, man, this doesn't look like the same place. I tell you what, family, the Ricky family, written really, really good, man. What they needed to upgrade, they did that.
That's cool. Say it again. Go ahead.
Definitely the clubhouse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That clubhouse is ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. My goodness. Sometimes you get lost down there.
What did you have in the old Wrigley clubhouse as far as if you wanted a comfortable place to sit? I'm thinking you didn't have couches and recliners like they do now.
I went into the umpire's room. That was the only place I was comfortable.
Really? Is that true?
When they went out, I would go into the ground crew room. They didn't want to have couches and things like that. They never give me a hard time, so I was hoping they were going to be in the outside corner.
Hang out in the umpire's room at the risk of pissing off their strike zone because it was comfortable.
Yes, but I tell you what, because when we first started, man, we used to do that left-hand line. Remember, we were down the left-field line there. We had to walk on the field to get to the bullpens.
Yeah, I mean, that's a crazy thing. Look, I'll out myself right now, Lee. I was in college in Boston when you were a member of the Red Sox, right?
Okay.
And you used to walk. I had bleacher seats very often because that's all I could afford in college. And I would sit out there, and the fifth inning, you would walk out to the bullpen from the dugout, and you would be taking your damn time, like just walking out there. Yes. And we would all stand up in the bleachers at Fenway, and we would bow to you. We'd go, Big Lee. Big Lee. Yeah.
That was unbelievable, man. I mean, it was a whole from like center field over to the right field corner, man. All the guys would be bowing. I'd be tipping my hat to them. The guy took care of me. That's a good friend still there.
That was me. I was there. I was one of your guys genuflecting out there in the bleachers, man.
Yes, man. You know what? That way you could walk to the corner of that bullpen and actually talk to fans and stuff like that back in the day.
Man, yeah, and I remember you did that. That's right, because those bullpens were right there in front of the bleachers, so you could walk out and you'd talk to fans, huh?
Yep. Yes. Definitely.
And so at Wrigley, I mean, did you at some what point during the game did you walk out to the bullpen at Wrigley and sit in one of those chairs with your back? Like, you didn't go out there until the sixth or seventh, did you?
Well, yeah, because they had a lot of guys there behind me was giving me pitching tips, but they had too many beers, so I waited for the seventh inning. But it was really close. You didn't have to go very far. It was like maybe 100 feet.
Yeah, there were rumors that you were sleeping, that you would relax and sleep in the clubhouse before the seventh inning. Can you confirm or deny, sir?
Never. You know I was asleep, man. My job was the assistant trainer's job, make sure I got in the seventh inning, have on the right uni.
Okay, these rumors of you taking a nap are not true, is what you're saying.
Oh, trust me, I was asleep, man. Yeah, me too. But there wasn't nothing better than waking up with a 3-run lead, man. Rhino took care of me.
Wake up, you got a 3-run lead. There you go.
Oh, unbelievable. I give the guys a hard time. Make sure you give me that the bottom of the lineup, too, if you could.
and they'd set you up for it. Like, seriously. Oh, yeah. The image that I see of you at Wrigley on a weekday afternoon with the shadows, with the sun line right there between the mound and between home plate, like you knew that just made you more powerful, didn't it? To have the sun line in between on a weekday afternoon.
Man, that was awesome because everybody saw me with that hat right over the top of my eyes there. They thought I was trying to be cool, but that little cookie shutter at the top of the stadium was right in my face. So that's one of the things that helped me. But my favorite was the 305 starts. It was unbelievable.
Why?
Well, it was dark when I got out there.
It's dark and there's no lights and nobody can see you, and it just makes you that much more dominating.
Take your time a little bit, man. We had a couple of guys umpire. Rest his soul, Frank Pulley. And I threw a ball and struck out Eric Davis. And Eric said, hey, that ball is not a strike. And Frank said to him, but it sounded like it was a strike.
Oh, man. Yeah. Lee Smith joining us right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Lee, I'm looking at a list of all the pitchers in baseball who ever pitched 1,000 games, because Ian Happ got to 1,000 games yesterday. And yep. You know how many pitchers in baseball ever reached 1,000 games? You're one of them, by the way. But do you have any idea how many even got there?
I'm going to probably go with maybe 8 or 10.
16. We're up to 16 now.
If you look at those stats, you can look at those guys pitching in 1,000 games, whoever pitched over one inning or who pitched over two innings. You know, Plesac and all those guys like that, and Jesse Orozco and all those guys there, they didn't go out there for one out. They went out there for the whole innings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm looking at it. Like, it's Orozco and Mike Stanton, John Franco, and then it's like this is like some of the greatest closers in history. Mariano Rivera, Eckersley. You mentioned Plesac, Kent Tekulve. That's pretty amazing company, isn't it?
My goodness, yeah. But how many guys actually make it to the major leagues, man? You know, to go out there and pitch that many games. I actually wanted to throw more than one inning because you learn how to pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you knew how to pitch. You were a starter. You were a starter at first, but you knew how to pitch. And that mattered to you as a closer, is that you weren't just going out there and blowing people away. You were thinking about it like a pitcher, right?
Yeah. You know, with that situation there, you'd have to maybe see a guy twice in that one game. It won't happen too much now. But the main thing is you learn how to pitch and how to, like, warm up is probably the best thing for you. You know, a guy go out there and blow it out in the seventh inning, and you got to warm up and get in the eighth inning. That's the toughest thing. A lot of guys could probably warm up 2-3 times a day. Hmm. They warm up that first time. If they go in the game, it's nothing else. They don't go back out there.
Hmm. Talking to Lee Smith here on 670 The Score, was there a point when you started to lose the dominance, Lee, as a closer, and you knew it? Was it the radar gun? Was it the bite of the slider? Like, how did you know that things were starting to fade just a little bit?
Well, you know what? When you go out there at day-to-day and you don't feel your best, which don't happen a whole lot, but the main thing is having that confidence to go back out there. If you get beat up one day, say, hey, man, I won't go back out there, hope the same guy, so you get a chance to pitch and learn yourself. But I think when you learn to throw your secondary pitches, that may be a lot easier for you.
Hmm. Yeah, it's because I was watching Ryan Pressly on Friday. That was a scary ninth inning, on Friday. How were you feeling, the old closer? How were you feeling as Ryan Pressly was battling it on Friday afternoon?
You know what? Those one of those times you get out there and you look at those guys, you think, what would I do here? I'd be calling the pitches. I'm in the suite up there telling the guys that what's coming, you know, because I could understand what he was going through to making quality pitches, because you ain't get after that ninth inning, you get there no more. So the one thing with him is having that confidence, coming to a new team early in the year and really pressing to be able to be there for the team.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. Yeah. It's like because there had to be a certain point, Lee, where you knew you weren't the dominant self that you were as a youth, but it's still your job. And you knew you had to be confident to get out there and do it.
But the main thing was not just for you, but for the team and your bullpen guys. And if you go out there and give it up one day, that team going to have the confidence, the manager going to have that confidence to put you back out there. Yeah. So the one thing for you, show you have that confidence. Hmm. That's the main thing you got to do, day in and day out.
Lee, so the happy place is back on that tractor when you get back down south. And I know you like to listen to the radio. What do you listen to? What do you listen to when you're on the tractor in your happy place?
Something really strange going on with me with this new heart, dude. I think I done turned into a redneck, man. I got the country western going on here, boy. What the heck's going on with me? It's unbelievable, man. I'm loving it.
So you think you got a redneck's heart? You think is that what happened?
I must have. Man, I'm eating cauliflower and all this. What the heck's going on? But I love the country western music. And I think my wife's loving it too, because she likes it.
Well, that's it, man. My wife loves it too. And like I fought it for a while, but it's better if she's happy that you listen to what you need to.
Yes, definitely. It's good, man. I love it, man, because you can understand what they're saying.
Lee Smith, you're the best, man. So great to catch up with you. And so glad you're doing well. I'm so glad you're in town. Many, many, many more years of seeing you back in for Cubs home openers, we hope. All right?
Sounds good to be, man. That's to you again, too. Here you get.
Yeah.
All right, brother.
Thank you, sir. Right. Thank you.
You bring it up.
All right, man. That's Lee Smith. That's Lee Smith right there on 670 The Score. I'm telling you, he would take his time walking out to the bullpen at Fenway, and we'd go, Big Lee, Big Lee. Tens of thousands of us bowing to the man. And he just confirmed that he would sleep and wake up at Wrigley with a 3-run lead. All right, good. Ronald took care of me. All right, here we go. Let's go.
See, I'm terrible after a nap. For him to be able to do that, that's money.
Hey, man,
I wake up from a nap, I'm like, what year is it?
Yeah, right. That feeling, especially the twilight nap. You ever have that where you fall asleep like on a back porch or the front porch and you wake up and it's twilight and you have no idea what time it is? That's when Lee Smith would rise up and go over and strike out the side. That is a bad, bad man and a very, very sweet and kind man. Yeah, he was a 300-pounder who ended up at 193 after his health scare and then got the heart transplant. I didn't focus too much on that just because I wanted to enjoy the opportunity to talk baseball and life with the man. But that is a massive health scare that he has survived and come through strong. So really good stuff. All right, we have a bonus 45 minutes of Hit and Run. We have to hit a story that is now making the rounds, and frankly, it's being built up into a bigger story than it is to me. We'll talk about it. It's regarding White Sox ownership. A nugget in Bob Nightingale's column today, which is always well-informed, but it's making people a little crazy, and I don't think you should be. We'll talk about that, and we've got some pressing Cubs issues to get to in advance of their final game against the Padres, which comes up at 12:45 right here on The Score. You're listening to Hit and Run.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout-out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Go!
everything baseball all season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.